We're on top of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the second line Bishlema. And we're discussing this possibility of a hekesh that's half in and half out, meaning it's half mefurish in the pasuk and half not. Can we build on that hekesh a second hekesh, which we said is a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Akiva holds law of hekesh, meaning that this case of Hemenu v'davar acher is not considered a hekesh, and therefore you can build a second hekesh on top of it. And Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. So Gemara says, Bishleim lamanti omer koin to Rabbi Akiva, who holds lo havi hekesh, which means you can build another hekesh on top of the first one. Hainu d'chsiv, we're learning now the parasha of Shtei Alechem. And in the parasha of Shtei Alechem, which is brought on Shavuos, the Torah says in Vayikrach of Gimel, Mimoshvosechem taviu lechem tnufa shtayim shnei esronim solis tiyeno chavetz teafenu bikurim lashem. And this brisa is now going to emphasize the extra word taviu. In other words, the pasuk could have said v'kravtem mincha chadosh lashem mimoshvosechem lechem tnufa, and the word taviu is completely superfluous. Now let's just mention the dinim of Shtei Alechem and what we want to derive from Shtei Alechem, which is going to be Lachmei Toda, as a way of introduction. If a person brings a Karban Toda, he has to accompany them with 40 chalos, of which 10 are chametz and 30 are matzah. The 30 chalos of matzah are subdivided into three groups of three each. 10 are what we call mafetanur, 10 are rekikim, and 10 are revuchos. And the question is, what's the shiur, what's the minimal size, the volume of these chalos, whether it be the 30 of matzah or the 10 of chametz. And what we're going to try to establish is a hekesh to Shtei Alechem, which are brought on Chag HaShavuos. And with regard to Shtei Alechem, the Torah is pretty outspoken about the shear. The Torah says there are two breads, which are Shnei Esronim, which certainly implies quite clearly that each one of the two Lechamim are considered have a shear of an Isaron. So Mal Tabaloba, what is this extra word Taviu that we mentioned before in the Pasuk? That's coming to create a hekesh between Shtei Alechem and the 10 Chalos Chometz of Lachmei Toda. And the Brisa continues by saying that Kol Shatamevi Mimokom Acher Hareu Kazeh. Mimokom Acher means that we're going to derive something in a different parasha, which means in the parasha of Lachmei Toda regarding the 10 Chalos Chometz, Hareu Kazeh, to be equated with the Shiur of Shtei Alechem Alahal, and in the case of Shtei Alechem, Isaron Lachala, since the Torah says Shnei Esronim for Shtei Chalos, it means each Chala has the Shiur of an Isaron. Afkan here too, in the case of Lachmei Toda, Isaron Lachala. So if it's Isaron Lachala, and we have to bring 10 Chalos Chometz in Lachmei Toda, then we multiply 10 by 10, and basically bring Eser Esronim. Now the Brisa asks a question on itself. Maybe we should darshan it a little bit differently. Let's darshan this hekesh of Lachmei Toda to Shtei Alechem and say, Imala Halon, in the case of Shtei Alechem, Shnei Esronim, the total amount is Shnei Esronim. Afkan, maybe in Lachmei Toda as well, the total amount would be Shnei Esronim for all the 10 chalos together. It means that each challah would be a fifth of an Isara. And the Bryce answers, Tam Lomer Tihiyena. In other words, in the Pasuk, by Shtel Lechem, where it says, Mimoshvel Sechem Tavi, Taviu Lechem Tnufa, it says, Soles Tihiyena. And the word Tihiyena is written in the Torah with two yuds. And we're going to derive from one of these two yuds, the extra yud is going to be teaching us that the shir of Lachmei Toda is yud esronim, is only all told 10 esronim, meaning isaron for each one of the chalas. Now, even though, again, this pasuk of Tiyen appears in the parash of Shtel Lechem, not in the parash of Lachmei Toda, but if we don't need it for Shtel Lechem, then we can use it for Lachmei Toda. So it turns out like this. The Gemara says that the shear of chalos with regard to the chametz, the 10 lachmei toda which are chametz, is derived from, number one, a hekesh between lachmei toda and shtel lechem. And on top of that, the extra yud in the parasha, in the word tiyen in the parasha of lechem, shtel lechem, which is an imeno inyan. The Braisa wants to clarify, what about the other 30 chalos of matzah that accompany the carbon toda? Lamadnu asara lechametz. You've already established your limud from in the equation between lachmei toda and shtel lechem, that we have Asura Esronim for the Eser Chalas, which means each Chala is one Isaron. And this already is a case of Heimenu V'Davar Acher. Because the fact that there are 10 Chalos, that itself is derived through Gzeira Shava from Trumas Maser. Now, how do we know that Lachmei Toda require of the 40, 10 chalos, which are chametz? That itself is derived from Trumas Maser, but that is considered as if it's already nichtav begufon, as if it's written. Now, the shir of Yisaron L'chalachas is derived from the word taviu of shtel lechem. That means that each chametz that you bring should be the same identical shear as that of Shtel Lechem, which is Yisar and Lechol Lechem. And that's already Dover Acher. So you start with Heimenu, and then you have a Dover Acher. So this is going to work out nicely according to Rabbi Akiva, and it's going to be a problem for Rabbi Shmuel. But let's just finish up the Braisa with regard to Matzah, because we have three types of Lechem, Each of which is ten, made up of 10 matzah, of lechem matzah. Minayin, how do we know what the shear is? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says in Vayikra Zayin, al chalos lechem chametz. The Torah is now setting up a hekesh between the three categories of lachmei matzah and the single category of lachmei chametz. And that's going to teach us that Neged HaChametz, which means the shear of all the Lachmei Chametz, which is Asara Esronim, Isaron for each one of the Lachamim, Havei, we should derive from that the three categories of Lachmei Matzah altogether have the same shear, which means Asara Esronim. It means that each one of these three categories will be made up of us, of one third. Now it's the shlosh esronus u'shlish. You'll end up with three esronus and a third, 3.3, for each one of the minim, of the three minim of matzah. And this all works if we assume that, as we said before, hey, menu v'dover acher is a valid way of deriving conclusions, because you're going to equate matzah with chametz. A chametz is derived in itself from a hekesh to shtel lechem. So that's good according to Rabbi Akiva. However, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that a hekesh, which is called heimenu, cannot be the basis for a derivation of another hekesh, Michael Meimar. How are you going to derive the shiurim of lachmei matzah from lachmei chametz when lachmei chametz itself is based on a hekesh to shtel lechem? So the shiur of shnei esronim for shtei chalos in the case of shtel lechem, which is now going to be the basis for our limud of shnei esronim in the case of chametz, meaning that each one of the lachem of chametz has to be an isaron. Now we're going to add on top of that an equation between matzos and chametz. The Gemara answers, Taviu, in the parsha of shtel lechem, as we said at the outset, there's an extra superfluous word, Taviu, Yiseirahi. Notice the Torah could have said, V'kravta mincha chadosh al Hashem. This extra word, Taviu, has no additional purpose, doesn't teach us anything. It's only in order to set up a hekesh, as we mentioned earlier. Now, we're not going to use it for a hekesh, but rather, the Gemara now establishes a little bit of a change. And it says, if that pasuk, that word taviu, was written explicitly in the parasha of Lachmei Toda, so we're taking the extra word taviu from the word from the parasha of Shtei Lechem, we're placing it in the parasha of Lachmei Toda. And that's going to teach us that Lachmei Toda also required the shear of Shnei Esronim, just like Shtei Lechem. Oh, so now it comes out the shear of Isaron Lechala is written explicitly in Lachmei Toda, which are chametz, meaning those are chametz. And now we're going to use that as a basis for deriving a conclusion about the Lachmei Toda that come from matzah. And that's not a violation of the principle that one hekesh can't be built on another hekesh, so that we've defended Rabbi Yishmael, and even though heimenu v'davar acher eino malamed eino chozer malamed behekesh, going to Rabbi Yishmael as a general rule, here's the exception, because the word taviu is not a setting up a hekesh, but it, as we originally thought, but rather it's as if it says explicitly in this parasha. Now, going back to our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, "Apesach eino nechal ela ad chatzos." The Gemara says, "Man Tana, who is the author of our Mishnah? Omer Rav Yosef, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, who the Sanya Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah Omer Nemar Kan in Pesach Mitzrayim in Shmos. It says, 'Viochlus abasa balayla zeh.' The Nemar lahalon in Makas Bechoros. It says, 'Viavarti b'Eretz Mitzrayim balayla zeh.'" Malahalon, in the case of Makas Bechoros, Ad Chatzos. In other words, the moment of Makas Bechoros coincided with Chatzos Laila. Is Afkan here too, with regard to Vyochlos Abbas of Laila Zed, the mitzvah Achilas HaPesach, Ad Chatzos. That's the Shita of Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah. Now, in a minute, we'll see that Rabbi Akiva disagrees. But first, let's ask one question. Why is it that the requirement of Achilas Pesach v'Chatzos is not written in the parsha of Pesach itself, but rather in Makas Bechoros? Now, it's possible to suggest that the mitzvah of Achilas Pesach, since it requires a kezias, it's impossible to eat that kezias in 1 minute. And therefore, we're going to say that even though we're deriving the requirement of chatzos in Pesach from Makas Bechoros took place immediately in 1 second. It's impossible to say that you can eat an entire kezias of Pesach in one split, in one instant. Therefore, we're going to have to interpret it as if you have to eat it before chatzos, but you have to have eaten the Pesach by chatzos. Also, it's impossible to look at your clock and know exactly when chatzos is. Now, maybe the Torah has in mind that Chatzos is the beginning of the Zman Achila. How do we know that the Torah is telling me that Chatzos is the Sof Zman Achila? Again, we know that Achilas HaPesach going to the Shita coincides with Makas Bechoros, but maybe Makas Bechoros is telling us the kickoff time. And he quotes here the Sfas Emes, who says that Achilas HaPesach in Mitzrayim was given as a Hatzola from the Mashkes. They shouldn't come into the houses of the Jewish people. Therefore, it's logical that the Achilas HaPesach would precede the time of the Mashkes of Chatzos. And it's logical also that Achilas Pesach should be at a time when people usually eat. Who eats from Chatzos? All right, there's such a thing as a midnight snack, but that's not general. In any event, Omalei, the Braisa, now records the counter-argument of Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Lozman Azariah. Halokvar Nemar, the Pasuk says there in Parashas Bo, V'acheltem oso b'chipazon, which implies that the Achil, the Pesach, has to be ad shas chipazon. And the moment of chipazon is identified with daybreak. That's the time when people are rushing to get out. You know, they're starting their day. And it says also in Parashas Bo, Vatem lo teitzu ish mi Pesach beso ad haboker. So therefore, it would seem that the time to eat the Korban Pesach, which the Torah identifies with Shas Chipazon, should be up until the morning, till daybreak. And in Kein Ma Talmud Lomer, so what is the Pasuk telling me when it says Balayla Hazer? Sheyochel, I might think that Yehei, the Korban Pesach should be Kechol HaKodshim, all Kodshim, Hanechel B'yom, which means that you eat it on the day of the Shechita. In this case, it would be on Yudalid. Talmud Lomer, Balayla, Balayla Hei Nechel, V'yenu Nechel Bayom. It shouldn't be eaten before on Yudalit itself, before the nightfall of Tesvav. So it seems that the machlokas here between Rabbi Lozman and Azariah and Rabbi Akiva revolves around a Doraisa halacha. And the Gemara goes on to say, Amalei Abai turns to Rabbi Yosef and he says to him, how do you know, what's your proof that, to identify our Mishnah that says the Pesach has to be eaten by Chatzos with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the Mishnah is talking about a Din Doraisa? Maybe the Tana in our Mishnah has in mind Dilma Derabbanan. He's talking about a Din Derabbanan, and we mentioned this Din already back on Daf Nun Gimel, that whenever the Torah gives you all the way till the morning, till daybreak, the Chachamim require that it be eaten by Chatzos Laila. And why is that? Ula harchik es ha'adam min ha'vera. It's a drabonim to make sure that the basar is eaten before daybreak. So they said eat it before midday. And you see clearly from this Gemara that Rabbi Kiva also agrees that the gzeiras Chachamim, that the Pesach should be eaten by Chatzos, is an accepted Issur Derabbanan or a Mitzvah Derabbanan. And the question is, what happens according to Rabbi Akiva after Chatzos? Does the Basar Pesach become, at least on a Derabbanan level, Nosar? Yet the Gemara in Masechta Psochim, at the end of the Masechta Kuf Chaf in the Sugi Vafikoman, there the Gemara says that when the Mishnah says a Pesach Achar Chatzos Mitame Esayidayim, which implies that the Basar is Nosar, the Gemara identifies that Mishnah with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Why can't Rabbi Akiva also accept that there's Nosar Derabbanan and it's Mitame Esayidayim after Chatzos? So the Mordechai asks this question at the end of Psochim, and he says that according to Rabbi Akiva, since it's Nosar only Midrabbanan, it's not Mitame Esayidayim. Rashbam in Psochim says something very similar. Now, if you see here, we have a Tosus Divra Maschil Laharchik, a very short Tosus, and he raises the question, why is it in Kodshim, which are eaten Shnei Yomim V'layla, which means in the case of Shlomim, the Rabbanan did not institute this Gzeira that on the second day they should stop and complete their eating of the Kodshim, of the Shlomim, by Chatzos Yom? not to allow them to mistakenly wait till the night and it becomes nosa. And Tosfos answers that there's a difference between night where eino nika kolkach, and you don't know exactly what time of the night is, whether it's chatzos, you still have laila until amura shachar and daybreak, when you're no longer allowed to eat the bus, it becomes nosar. The Rabbanan felt a compelling reason to make this gzera. But in the daytime, when it's quite clear, and you can see the difference between day and shkia is very obvious, very murgash, is there's no need to make this gzera. But we see clearly that the gzera was because we're afraid he might come to eat it after it becomes nosar. There's another possible way of learning Tosfos, that the reason for this gzera is that kidei shelo yisrashel v'yovi es hakorbali de nosar, is then l'divrei v'psochim chazri kushsa toska badu lo gozu gam v'necholim l'shnei yomim v'layla. And you're going to have to say that in Achilas Yom V'Layla, which is a shorter amount of time, there's more of a chashash of Rashlanut that he might come to Nosar, but in the case of Shnei Yom V'Layla, there's no chashash. So now the Gemara has to defend Rav Yosef. How do we know? How did Rav Yosef know to identify our Mishnah with Rav Lozman Azari on a Doraisa level? In Cain, he says, if the Tana was addressing a Darabonon and Issa Darabonon, my, what is the language of the Mishnah? Ela ad chatzos. The Mishnah in general, in all Mishnayis, when it speaks about karbonos, which min haTorah are to be eaten up to daybreak, then it usually says ad chatzos, but here it says ela ad chatzos. And the answer is ela ki hasam. What it means, the Tana has in mind that the lashon of ela ad chatzos is a dafka lashon. Like, for example, the Mishnah uses, in the case of Korban Pesach, the language of ela limnuyav or ela litzli. So the word El is added by the Mishnah to indicate an absolute requirement, Doraisa. Mahasam, we're regarding Minuyov or Tzli, Doraisa. The word El indicates a Doraisa requirement. Afkanami, here too in the Tana, use the word Ela ad Chatzos, it's Mashma Doraisa. And that requirement of Chatzos Doraisa reflects the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, Rashi takes out a girsa here of Ibois Ema Ki Hasam. We have Ela Ki Hasam. We don't have Ibois Ema Ki Hasam. In other words, there's only one teretz in the Gemara. And the Gemara wants to prove from the word Ela that the Mishnah is talking about a Doraisa. And the Shita Mekubetzes points out that Rashi is coming lafuke another girsa, which has two answers and two supports for the fact that our Mishnah is on a deraisa level. Number one, the fact that it says Ella. Number two, the fact that this halacha of chatzos, as far as achil, is quoted together with the other halachas of tzli and menuyav, which are deraisa, and they're all brought together in b'neshiva achas, so to speak. And the Shita Mekubetzes claims that Rashi refused that girsa, rejected it because there are precedents for combining Derabbanan and Dinim Derabbanan with Doraisas in Mishnayis, and the fact that it's brought down with other Dinim Doraisas is not enough of a proof for the Gemara to support Rav Yosef's contention here. Now, the Lahalach, it's an interesting question that's relevant today with regard to Afikoma. Do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? And usually we have a rule that a Stam Tana is we paskin like him, and here we have a case of a Stam Mishnah which reflects the Shita of Elazar ben Azariah, and that supports that Shita that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Again, that's only relevant to Achilas HaPesach on a Deraisa level. Would it be relevant to the Zman of Achilas Matzah? Rava, at the end of Masechta Psochim, writes, quote, Achal Matzah b'zman hazecher chatzos, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lo yotzi decho vaso. And Tosfos in Masechta Zvachim here writes that Dibra Maskli by Seima, that we have to be very careful to eat the matzah before Chatzos, because we have a hekesh between matzah and Korban Pesach. Tosim Sachim, on the other hand, bring a Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah says on Daf Chav, Kol Dovish Mitzvah Sova Laila, Kosher Kol Laila. And the Gemara explains that it's coming to include Achilas Psachim like Rabbi Akiva, which seems that there's a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva. Now, if you make the calculation, there are three Mishnayos which represent Stama, Kirab Lozma, and Azariah. There's one Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva. But nevertheless, there's a principle that is derived in a sugya at the end of Yevamos, that it doesn't matter how many Stam Mishnas you have, one is good enough. And therefore, left with a suffix, Tosus says we don't know whether we paskin like that one Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva, and the Pesach could be eaten until daybreak, or like the other Mishnahs, three in number, that paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And if you take a look in the Magid Mishnah, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Vav, he writes that since the issue of Ad Chatzos remains an outstanding suffix, therefore, we go back to the original principle, the universal principle, Halacha Rabbi Akiva Mechavero. And therefore, according to the Magid Mishnah's understanding, we have a basis for paskening Halacha L'maisa like Rabbi Akiva. And many Rishonim hold that Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, the Rosh, the Ran, and based on the Mishnah Megillah. And not only that, the Mishnah Megillah brings all sorts of halachas psukos, one of which is like Rabbi Akiva, that Pesach nechal ada boker. And that's based on various sugyas in Bava Kama, and Bava Metziah. And therefore, these Rishonim, the Rosh and the Ran Paskin, like Rabbi Akiva. And the Rosh says in Pesach that even if we do Paskin like Rabbi Akiva, since the Rabbanim made Gzera that Kodshim should be eaten until Chatzos Hayom, even in Matzah we should be machmir to eat it by Chatzos. The Arzaru is not sure about this, if they made that same Chumra Drabbanan in Matzah as they did in Kodshim. And the Rambam seems to assume Mitzvasa Kol HaLaila without any stipulation, without any hesitation, that we pass in like Rabbi Akiva straight away without a Gzera in Matzah. And the only Gzera that we have is in Achilas Kodshim, in Achilas Psochim. We don't have a parallel Gzera in Achilas Matzah. But in any event, you'll see in many poskim that we should be machmir, even in Matzah, to make sure that we eat the Matzah before Chatzos. Hajon Alecha Eizu Mekom. Let's begin on Daf Nun Zayin Omer Aleph with the Mishnah at the beginning of the sixth parak of Zvachim, Kodshei Kodshim. We learned back on Daf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph that Kodshei Kodshim have to be shechted b'tzafon, and that's a reference to four categories of korbanos: the Ola, the Chatos, the Osham, and Shalmei Tzibur, which accompany the Shtei Lechem and Shvuos. Those all are classified as Kodshei Kodshim, and we require the Tzafon. Tzafon means from the Kosel HaTzfoni Shal Mizbeach, from the northernmost wall of the Mizbeach till the Kosel HaTzfoni, the northernmost wall of the Azara. Again, there's a machlokas tanoim that we had back on Daf Chaf, exactly what area is covered in this tzafon. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it's only that section that's keneged kir hatzafoni shal mizbeach. Only that's kosher for shchitas kodshim kodshim. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon has a more lenient view, a broader scope, and he says the entire tzafon azara, from the Mizbeach to the direction of the west up until the Ulam, that's also kosher. Rebbe's a third shita. he adds that the entire shetach, the whole area, from the Kir HaZorah on the eastern side all the way to the Ulam, all of that, Kol Mashet Tzfon LaMizbeach is kosher. So our mission establishes that Kodshi Kodshim Shkitosim V'Rosh HaMizbeach, not only are you able to stand on the Azor and Shechta Karbon, but you could even stand on the Mizbeach itself in Shechta Karbon. That's true as far as the Mizbeach HaChitzoni is concerned. With regard to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, there the Shechita would be Psula if it was done Al Gavi Mizbeach. So we're only talking now about Rosh HaMizbeach HaChitzon. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ki'ilu Nishchetu Bat Sofon. And it seems that Min HaTorah, the Shechita, is Kshera Al Rosh HaMizbeach. And it would seem to imply that even L'chatchila, and the Gemara is going to darsh in Psukim to prove this, V'zavachta Olav, the Pasuk says, and yet it's strange, the Mishnah says, Sheshachton Bat Sofon. I'm sorry, Sheshachton Barosh HaMizbeach, which sounds like he's talking about a B'dieved. And Tosus raised the possibility that Min Rabbono, and maybe they asked the Shechita on top of the Mizbeach for reasons of Kavod HaMizbeach, because to take an animal on top of the Mizbeach, and who knows what he might do on top of the Mizbeach, Lahatil Glolim, and so forth, that's a Pagam in Kavod HaMizbeach. However, there are those who say that even on a Doraisa level, Chatchilu, we should not shecht on top of the Mizbeach, because Chatchilu, we should fulfill the Pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, V'shachato Sol Yerach HaMizbeach, which means B'tzido Shal Mizbeach. And therefore, Chatchilu, we should not shecht B'rosh HaMizbeach. Also, keep in mind, there's a Pasuk in Dvar Yud Beis, V'asiso Losecha Basar Adam Al Mizbach Hashem Elkecha, only the Basar and the Dam are on the Mizbeach, not the Shechita, the carbon itself. So perhaps when it says here, Sheshachta Barosh HaMizbeach, and Rabbi Yossi says Kshera, the Shechita is the Shechita Kshera, he might be referring to B'dieved, but not L'chatchila. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, here's another Rabbi Yossi, but in this case we're talking about Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. He says that Mechatsiya Mizbeach V'ledorom is Kidorom, that we have to split the Mizbeach itself. There's the northern part of the Mizbeach, and the southern part of the Mizbeach. The southern part of the Mizbeach is Pasul Shechitas Kodshi Kodshim. And you can only consider the half of the Mizbeach, Michatziah Mizbeach L'Tzofon, the northern part of the Mizbeach, as Tzofon, for Shechitas Kodshi Kodshim. And it would seem from the language of the Mishnah that when we talk about Rosh HaMizbeach, Rabbi Yossi, who's the Tanakama, he was Machshir, that's on the Mizbeach itself. The Kevesh would seem to be Pasul. And there's a discussion in the Achronim about this as well. Now the Kabbal Saddam should be in the place where the Shechita took place. And they quote the Brisker Rav here in the footnote that he had a doubt as to whether Kabbal Saddam could be Ksher Al Gabi Mizbeach. A whole discussion in the Brisker Rav. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan, Omer Hoyer Rav Yossi. There's Rav Yochanan had a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim about Rav Yossi, that Kulei Mizbeach B'Tzofon Koi, that the Mizbeach was actually situated, the entire Mizbeach, in the Tzfon HaZara. And that's the opinion of Rav Yossi Ben Chalafta. And the Gemara later on is going to have a diun here. What's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda? Now we're focusing on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, unless we know otherwise, is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. There's going to be a sugya later on Amud Beis and also on Nun Tes Amud Aleph, a machlokes tanoim regarding this. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili also holds that the Mizbeach was in the Tzofon, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Mizbeach was half in the Tzof and half in the Darom. Rabbi Lozman Yaakov is of the opinion that the entire Mizbeach is in the Darom. Now, if you take a look at this little diagram that I have here in the Masifta, you'll see that he sets up the Tzafon on the right side, the Durim on the left side, and he shows you that the Mizbeach, with the exception perhaps of the Kevesh, is completely situated in the Tzafon, and that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta in our Mishnah. Again, the problem that the Gemara is going to face is that the language of Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is ke'ilu nishkatu b'tzafon, as if to say that the Mizbeach is not located in Tzafon, but the Shechita is considered as if it was implemented in the Tzafon. But before we get to that, if you take a look in the western side, which since he has the north on the right and the east on the left, I'm sorry, let me go over that one more time. Since he has the north on the right side and the east on the bottom of this diagram, it means that the north is on the right side and the south on the left side. Then on the top of this diagram, he puts the western side. And he shows you the Heichal that leads through the Pesach HaHeichal into the Ulam. The Ulam stretches way beyond the 20 amos of the Heichal. It's a much wider area. And you'll see that half of the Ulam is on the northern side, meaning towards your right. The other half of the Ulam is on the southern side towards your left. But the Mizbeach itself, reflecting this sheet of Rabbi Yossi, is underneath that half of the Ulam, which is on the northern side. And the Mizbeach is situated in the north. In the north. Oh, so my ke'ilu, so why does Rabbi Yossi say in our Mishnah, ke'ilu nishkatu b'tzafon, if the shkita on the Rosh Mizbeach, the Mizbeach is in the Tzafon, it's mamish in the Tzafon, the Azor, why does he have to say ke'ilu? And the Gemara answers, ma'u detema be'inon al yerech v'leka. As we said before, the Torah says, v'shachar also al yerech ha'mizbeach, Tzafona. And therefore, we would think that Yerech means on the side of the Mizbeach. And therefore, Al Gabi Mizbeach is not a fulfillment of this requirement of Litzad HaMizbeach or Yerech HaMizbeach, Kamash Malon. Rabbi Yossi wants to say, no, it's not like that. That even though he shechted the carbon on the Mizbeach itself, that's a Shechita Kshera, as if he had shechted it Mamish on the Tzafon HaZorah. Now, the Chiddush of Rabbi Yossi is that we don't darshan that the Shechita has to be B'tzad HaMizbeach and it's Ma'keves. But again, there's still a possibility, as we mentioned by Barichus earlier, that as far as L'chatchil is concerned, then Achigami, we should fulfill Al Yerach HaMizbeach and not Shechted Al Rosh HaMizbeach. But Rabbi Yossi's Chiddush is that don't think that this requirement of Al Yerach on the side of the Mizbeach is Likuv, it's indispensable. And as far as the Psul Shechita is concerned, you might think that this pasuk is ma'akev. And the answer is, Rabbi Yossi said, no, you can have a Shechita al Rosh HaMizbeach, and to stand on the karka of the Mizbeach, the Torah is not makpid, there's no absolute kepeda as a critical requirement to shet the dafka b'yerech HaMizbeach. Now, the Sheet of Kubetzes raises a very interesting possibility here, which would change our discussion about L'chatchil and B'dievet as far as Rosh HaMizbeach. He suggests that the Chiddush of Rabbi Yossi is that Rosh HaMizbeach, the Mizbeach itself, is also considered Yerech HaMizbeach. And when the Torah says Yerech HaMizbeach, it includes the Mizbeach in it as well. Now, when we get to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Michatzi HaMizbeach L'dorim. He doesn't say Ki'ilu. He doesn't add that word Ki'ilu. And even though the northern half, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, of the Mizbeach is not Yerech, but nevertheless, he leaves out Ki'ilu. The Shita Mekubetz wants to suggest in his first answer that the reason why Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda didn't repeat the word ke'ilu, he felt no need to do so. He was relying on the ke'ilu of Rabbi Yossi in the Reish of the Mishnah. But he offers a second answer based on a sugya later on in Samach Beis, that the southern half of the Mizbeach is called Pnei HaMizbeach. The northern half of the Mizbeach is called Yerach HaMizbeach. And therefore it comes out that according to Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakhava Vav Mishnah, he would say that the what we call the southern side of the Mizbeach is not excluded from Yerech, and therefore it's Ki'ilu. You have to add the Ki'ilu. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, whose machshir only the northern half, there was never a Hava meaning to exclude it on the Yerech, because it's included on the Yerech HaMizbeach. Now Rabbi Zera understands that Rabbi Yochanan reinterpreted the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, that when the Mishnah says Shchitasa Ksher Al Gabi Mizbeach, the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon. The entire Mizbeach was in the Tzafon. Amalei Rabbi Zeler of Asi, and on this premise that Rabbi Zera assumes in Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Zera raises a question to Rav Asi. Rav Asi is the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Elamayata, now that you're telling me that according to Rabbi Yossi, the Mizbeach was completely in the Tzafon, and that's why it was Koshim Shchitas Kodshim Kodshim, is the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who's only Machsha, the Tzad Tzfoni of the Mizbeach, not the Tzad Dromi, the Chelik Dromi of the Mizbeach, is Hachinami, the Chetzio B'Tzafon, the Chetzio B'Dorom. The understanding of Rabbi Yochanan is that since Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah says that you can shecht kodshei kodshim on top of the Mizbeach, any part of the Mizbeach, and therefore it must be that Rabbi Yossi must have placed the entire Mizbeach in the Tzafon, then using that same logic, we should come to the conclusion that according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who rules that you can only have a valid shchit in the northern half of the Mizbeach, it must be that the other half of the Mizbeach was in the Dorom, and half of the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon. So in other words, the machlokas here between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is, was the entire Mizbeach in the Tzafon of the Azor, which would be Rabbi Yossi, or was the Mizbeach really in the middle of the Azara, meaning that half of the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon and half was in the Dorom. V'chitei ma'machinami, and I'm going to prove to you, says Reb Zera, that position, you cannot maintain that position. Va'atu di'amet mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, you Rav Asi, as a student of Rabbi Yochanan, quoted the following statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Modi Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi admits, Rabbi Yossi reviewed that Shem Shechaton Kenegdon Bekarka, if the Kodshei Kodshim was shechted on the ground, Kenegdon Bekarka, in that space that's occupied by the Mizbeach, then the Shechita is a Shechita Psula, which indicates that according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the entire Mizbeach was in the Dorom. We're working with a very strange premise, and that is that there's something kenegdom, which means the space that's occupied by the Mizbeach, and you can do a shechita there. How is it possible to do a shechita of an animal in a space where the Mizbeach is actually taking up that space? But in any event, that's going to be taken up by the Gemara a little bit later. Right now, we're asking the following. If the premise is that part of the Mizbeach is in the Tzafon, then if he shechted the carbon underneath that part of the Mizbeach, that should be a Shechita Kshera. And yet, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, expresses the opinion that there's no shechita under the Mizbeach at all that could be kshera. Apparently, the Mizbeach completely stood in the Dorom. So there's a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yochanan.
Because on the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan said, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, the entire Mizbeach was in the Tzafon, implying that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, holds that half the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon. And on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi is quoted here. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is quoted here saying that there's no possible Shechita anywhere underneath the Mizbeach, implying that the entire Mizbeach was in the Durham and no part of the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon. And again, all this whole kasha of Zera, is based on the assumption that Rabbi Yochanan understood the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, is based on the question of where the Mizbeach was located. Based on this premise, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, puts half of the Mizbeach in the Tzafon, and that contradicts another statement, meaning Rav Asi's statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that there's no possibility of kinegdom bakarka, meaning in the space occupied by the Mizbeach. And that's the premise of Rabbi Zera's kasha. Omalei, so Rav Asi answers Rabbi Zera, hachi kama Rabbi Yochanan. What Rabbi Yochanan was saying was that Shneem Mikra Echad Darshu, means both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, came to their respective conclusions based on their respective understandings of the same Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Shmos Perk Chav, Vizavachta Olav Es Olasecha V'es Shlamecha. And this Pasuk indicates that you can do both the Shechita of the Ola, which is Kodshei Kodshim, and the Shechita of the Shlomim, which is Kodshim Kalim, on the Mizbeach. Because it says, V'es Olasecha, V'es Shlomecha. Let's read the entire Pasuk. It says the following. Let me just get a few. It says, Mizbach Adoma Taseli, Vizavachta Olav Es Olasecha V'es Shlomecha. So since the opening part of the Pasuk is Mizbach Adoma, etc., and then it says Olav, it seems clear from this Pasuk that the Mizbeach itself was kosher for both Shechitas Ola and Shechitas Shlomim. Is Rabbi Yossi Sover, Rabbi Yossi understands Kulo Le Ola V'Kulo Le Shlomim. What the Pasuk means is that the Mizbeach in its entirety is roy, is fit for both Shechitas Ola and Shechitas Shlomim, which means that the Mizbeach in its entirety has the Kedushas Tzafon. And Kodshei Kodshim, even though the Shechit of Kodshei Kodshim does not have to be B'Tzafon, but it's Ksheira B'Tzafon, that we had back on Daf Nun Hei with the Kalachom from Kodshei Kodshim. Later on, the Gemara is going to clarify that Rabbi Yossi holds that we don't learn Kodshim Kalim from a Kalvachom from Kodshei Kodshim. But right now, the Gemara is not operating with that premise. So that Shlomim is also Kosher B'Tzafon, the Shechitas Shlomim. So now it comes out that according to Rabbi Yossi, this Pasuk is telling us that the Shechita on the Mizbeach is Kshera. Now, you could ask, why does Rabbi Yossi actually need such a Pasuk? Since he holds that the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon, what does he need this Pasuk V'zavachta to be Machsha Shechita on the Mizbeach if the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon? And the Shita Megubetz explains that even though the Mizbeach was in the Tzafon, we still need the Pasuk V'zavachta to teach us that the Mizbeach is not excluded from by virtue of the Pasuk Al Yerech HaMizbeach. So it means that when Rav Asi said that when Rabbi Yossi says Ki'ilu, he's telling us that we shouldn't passel the Mizbeach because it's not Al Yerech, he had in mind that because of this drush of his Avachta, Rabbi Yossi derived the conclusion that the Mizbeach is not excluded by Al Yerech, from the Pasuk Al Yerech. And now we get to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, he thinks that the intention of the Pasuk is to tell you that Chetzio Li'ola, that half of the Mizbech is for Ola, is Tzafon, and it, of course it's also for Shlomim. And Chetzi, the second half of the Mizbech, is only fit for Shlomim, meaning when you don't need Tzafon. Here's the logic of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudin, analyzing this pasuk, that Kulo Li Ola Kasha, that the entire Mizbech is kosher for Ola. It's hashta kulo liola kosher kulo shlomi boy. If the Torah is telling me that the entire Mizbech is kosher liola, why did I have to add the word shlomim to teach me that the Mizbech is kosher for shlomim? It's a kal v'chomer. If Ola, which requires tzafon, and that's critical, is kshera even on top of the Mizbech, and the entire Mizbech, then shlomim, which can be shechted whether it's in the tzafon or the darom, is kolshken, how much more so that's right to shecht al gabi mizbeach. It must mean that the shechitas ol is not ksher b'chola mizbeach. The pasuk had to add shlomim is a chiddush, that whereas ola requires only the top half of the mizbeach, the tzafon part, shlomim is ksher b'chola mizbeach. Even though you might argue that sometimes the Torah uses a lozu afsu kind of approach, and it tells you shlomim first and then ola, that the chiddush is even in the case of Ola, you can have a shechita on the Mizbeach, but that's not usual for the pasuk to teach me lozu afzu. Now if we look at the pasuk again, the pasuk says, Mizbach adom etas salivas avachta olav es ola secha ves shlomecha. It could very well be that had the word shlomim been written first, and then the word ol, it would have been lozu afsu. Meaning, not only is there a possibility of shechting al gavi mizbeach shlomim, which is kochi kalim, but even ola sech, which is kochi kochim, that requires tzofon, the Torah is saying there's a possibility of shechting on the mizbeach. But since the, you know, since the Torah formulates it in that sequence, then we're left with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda's question, why did the Torah have to add es shlomecha? And if we could have drawn shlomecha with a kal v'chomer, the superfluous shlomecha must be teaching us that the shechita of an ola is not ksher v'chol ha-mizbeach. The pasuk is telling us that shechita shlomim is unique and it's ksher v'chol ha-mizbeach. V'idach, now the Gemara turns to Rabbi Yossi, who learns that kulo liola v'kulo shlomim, so why do we need this pasuk? It's trich. The pasuk has to be marbe that the mizbech is kosher for shlomim. We cannot derive it from a kal v'chomer from ola. In other words, if the Torah had only mentioned ola, we would not be able to derive shlomim from ola. Salka daitach amina, ola hu didochik le'makom, in the case of ola, Shedochik lo makom ha'azara, the shechita of Ola has to be exclusively in the tzafon, and therefore if there's a massive volume of karbanos Ola, is there's not enough space, the Torah therefore had to add that the makom ha'mizbeach is also kshera l'shechita. But shlomim de lo dochik le makom, after all the entire azara is suitable for shechitas shlomim, aim Allah. We would have thought that the Torah doesn't allow you to be matir, to allow you to shecht on top of the mizbeach. You have plenty, ample room on the karka of the azara. Kamash malon, the Torah wants to tell us here, a chiddush in shlomim, that the mizbeach is kosher for shlomim, despite the fact that lo dochik le makom. Again, you can ask the following question: If the Torah is just coming to tell you that chiddush, the Torah could have mentioned shlomim, and we would have derived kodshi kodshim with the kal v'chomer from shlomim. If shlomim, which is lo dochak le'makom, the Torah was machshir al gabi mizbeach, kodshi kodshim, which has the additional variable of dochak le'makom, certainly is kosher on the mizbeach. And the answer is because in kodshi kodshim, the pasuk says al yerech ha'mizbeach tzafona, and if not for this pasuk v'zavachta, we would have excluded Mizbeach, because it's not called Yerech, as the Gemara clarified earlier. So just to summarize, the final conclusion of our Gemara It comes out that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the explanation of the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudin and Mishnah with regard to the kashrus of shchitas kodshi kodshim on top of the mizbeach is based on drashas of the pasuk. It's not because they have machlokas about the location, the exact location of mizbeach. It could be that with regard to the makom mizbeach, Rabbi Yochanan had a kabbalah from his rebbeim that Rabbi Yossi held that the entire mizbeach was in the tzafon, and as far as Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the entire mizbeach is in the darom, and therefore, as we said before, if you shecht it keneged hakarka, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the shechita is psula. But the machlokas here between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda revolves around the drush of the pasuk when it says v'zavachta olav es olasecha v'es shlomecha. So again, just to summarize, as we said, Rabbi Yochanan explains that the machlokes in our Mishnah is about drashas hapasuk, not because of another machlokes that they have with regard to the makom mizbeach, and there's no need to prove that according to Rabbi Yochanan in Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, half of the mizbeach was indeed in the Durham. It could very be possible that the entire mizbeach in the Durham, and therefore in the second statement that's attributed to Rabbi Yochanan by Rav Asi, namely that Moda Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Shimshchatan Kenegdam Bakarka Psula, which implies that the entire mizbeach was in the Durham. Kol mizbeach hayav b'Durham. Gufa, the Gemara now goes back to understand the statement that was quoted earlier by Rav Asi in the name of Rav Yochanan regarding Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda. Modi, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Shem Shchaton, Kenegdon, Bekarka, Psulos. Amale, Rav Achami, Difti, the Ravina, Mai, what does it mean? Kenegdon, Bekarka. You could have suggested perhaps that he had in mind keneged chilek hatzfoni shalom mizbeach, towards the east or towards the west. But we're not going to accept that interpretation because the proof of Rabbi Zera from Rabbi Yochanan was that lo yitachen sheRabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda sover shechatzim mizbeach haya betzafon. He rejects such a possibility. So the Gemara offers the following possibility. Ilema, this is Rav Acha's suggestion that the intention here of this statement, the meaning of this statement, is where the Shechita was on Ama Yisod or on Ama Sovev. Okay? Now, when we're talking about Ama Sovev, because the height of the Amma of the Mizbeach was an Amma, the Mizbeach became, how should we say, more narrow in the length of the west to the north, and in the length of the Durham, the south to the east, and all that is the size of an Amma. So as a result, there was like a Madrega, a kind of a step, which was one Amma high, that was called the Yesod. And after they went beyond the Mizbeach to lift the Mizbeach 5 Amos, it became one Amma narrow on 4 sides, and that was a new Madrega, which is called the Sovev. And you'll see in the diagrams that there's the Yesod and the Sovev. Each one has an Amma. And the Gemara is asking the following question. If the Shechita was done on the Amma Yesod or the Amma Sovev, then this particular place is Gufe de Mizbeachu. That's part of the Mizbeach itself. Why does Rav Asi use the language in the name of Yochanan of Kenegdon? It's not really Kenegdon, it's the Gufa Mizbeach. If Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda's Machsha, the Shechita there, then it has the din of the chelek tzfoni shel mizbeach. The odin, furthermore, it's difficult. My kenegdan bakarka, the esod and the sovev are not on the karka, kenegdan mokar mizbeach. They are on the mizbeach themselves. So it's not karka kenegdan, but rather it's the mizbeach itself. The chitema, and if you'll suggest that the intention of this statement of Rav Asi is the Ovid Mechilos Bakarka. He made certain diggings in the karka underneath the Mizbech Veshochet Behu, and he shechted in those Mechilos. And we're talking about a case where the Pesach of the Mechila was towards the Azara, because Shchitas Kshkojim is only Ksher in the Azara. And we have an entire sugim psochim daf pei vav about the status of the mechilos. And the basic, again, is very complicated, but the final word on that issue of the status of mechilos is that if it's psuchos lekodesh, if it's open up into the azor, it has a din of azor as far as shechita is concerned. If it's psuchos larabayis in the other direction, dinam kechol. So it has to have a din of mechila psucha lekodesh that's open to the azor in order to gain the status of azora for kedushas azora shechita. So he went ahead and he shechted it there in that area. Is v'chi ha'gavna mi'avi mizbeach? Would that be considered part of the mizbeach? Notes the simple pshat in Rabbi Yochanan. He seems to assume that the mizbeach is on top of them, and therefore they are considered mizbeach. The shechita is kshera. And is this really part of the mizbeach? V'atanya, don't we have a braisa that darshan's a pasuk in Shmos Perk Chaf? This is at the end of Parshas Yisro. It says, mizbeach adoma tasa li. And the braisa says that from this we derive shehei mechubar ba'adoma, that the mizbeach should be attached to the ground. Shelo yivne lo al gabi mechilos, that you should not build and establish the mizbeach on top of these mechilos. Now again, what's exactly the shear of mechila to pasul the mizbeach? That's called a tefach. And the Mishnah Lamelech in Beis HaBechira Perek Aleph says that even if the entire Azara was built on top of Mechilos, then nevertheless the Mokom Mizbech itself would not be on top of Mechilos because of this din that Mizbech Adoma Tasali, Adoma means it's got to be connected to the Adoma, not on top of Mechilos. The law gabi kifin, there were certain ulamos, certain offices or open areas that had each one had a tikra, a ceiling, which was bent down in a sort of circle, kamin keshes, like a bow, and therefore we're stuck. We don't understand again what kenegdan bakarka is. We don't assume that there are mechilos underneath the mizbeach that would we don't think it would, you know, such a situation would possible the mizbeach because of this requirement of ba'adama. So the Gemara answers, Ravina explains, Rav Acha midifti, what is kenegdan bakarka lo tzricha? Rabbi Yochanan didn't need to tell me this din in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Ella, but rather of a situation of debatre batsure, which means literally kitzru es hamizbeach. Now, it's the midah of the length and the width of the mizbeach is not ma'akev, which is a long discussion in and of itself, at least as far as the heft of the mizbeach is concerned. For its kashrus, the midos arkov arochma not ma'akvos, that's tosefta in menachos. Even though, again, those midos of the Mizbech were given to David ben Nevuah, that's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem, Olai, Haskil, Kol Melachos HaTavnis, but that pasuk is referring to the Beis HaMikdash and the Tzuras Mizbech that's necessary for the Beis HaMikdash, and that has to do with a shear of Shishim Amah. And if they would add to the shear of Shishim Amo, that place would not have the Kedushas Mizbeach, but it could be that there were small, you know, you could diminish the size of the Mizbeach. So if they were Makatzer, the Orech and the Rochav, in a way that it still remains Merubah, because you have to make sure it's cut down on both sides, it's made smaller in an equal way to make sure that you have the Ribu of the Mizbeach. But as a result of this process in which they were Makatzer the Mizbeach, is Me'ata, now if they shecht on the Kark of the Azara, in that place that earlier had the Mizbeach, now it doesn't have the Mizbeach there, then Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is Modeh that it's possible, because he holds that the entire Mizbeach was in the Dorum of the Azara. Now, we might ask the following question. The Rambam, at the beginning of the sixth parak of Yesodia Torah, codifies an Isur of Netitza with regard to the Mizbeach, but not allowed to even remove one Evan from the Mizbeach. And here, they were Makatza the Mizbeach. That's pretty odd. And it's possible that if they cut down the Mizbeach for the purpose of improving the Mizbeach, al menas l'takno, to fix it up, then we don't apply the Isur of Netitza of Mizbeach. Or perhaps they did it be Isur, and now he's shechting there. Or maybe before they actually built the Mizbeach, they decided to build it in a smaller measurement, and therefore they didn't have to take apart the Mizbeach to be Makatzer. So they didn't violate this Isur Netitza. And we're going to summarize here a short discussion that he has based primarily on Rashi, and we want to know what the chiddush here is, that if they were makatz in the Mizbeach, that you shouldn't shecht in that makom. That seems to be a simple halacha, because keep in mind, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the Mizbeach was in the Dorum of the Azara. So why would we think that there would be a heter to shecht in a place where the Mizbeach was and is no longer? And we're not going to say that there's a psul here of Yerach HaMizbeach to that place after they were Makatz in the Mizbeach, because that area after they were Makatz in the Mizbeach is definitely called Yerach HaMizbeach. So the psul must be because the Mizbeach is in the Dorum, and therefore we asked the question before, so what's the Havamina that you would be Mate Shchit in the Dorum? So the Sfasemis claims that this din is really Poshut. The reason why Rabbi Yochanan had to clarify it is that we shouldn't make a mistake that the Machlokas in our Mishnah revolves around the question of what was the exact location of the Mizbeach, and that Rabbi Yossi reviewed indeed would situate the Mizbeach half in the Tzofon. Therefore, he went out of his way, Rabbi Yochanan, to point out that Rabbi Yossi reviewed his mode, that if he shechted there, it was be a shechita psula, because the entire Mizbeach was in the Dorum. So when Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda derives from the pasuk of Zavachta Olav that the Mizbeach is kosher for Shchitas Ola and Shlomim, he's only willing to be machshir the top half, the Tzofon part. But even though he was machshir the top half based on this pasuk Alol Osech, he was modeh that since the Mizbeach is located in the Dorum, if he would shecht it on the ground below a place that was once part of the Mizbeach, but then was subject to the Makatz of the Mizbeach, that would be possible, because as Rabbi Yochanan wants to be Machadish here, in Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the entire Mizbeach was in the Tzofah. So again, there's no Chiddush, says the Sfas Emes, that once you remove that part of the Mizbeach, certainly the Karka Mizbeach is not kosher. That din itself would be poshut to us, because that's not the Tzofah of the Azara. But Rabbi Yochanan's coming to tell you something else about Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and that is that the Mizbeach itself was situated in the Dorum. Now, once Rav Asi responded to Rabbi Yochanan, that which Rabbi Yochanan said about Rabbi Yossi was under the premise that the Mizbeach was in the Tzofon, and it was not, and he, Rabbi Yochanan, did not derive this from our Mishnah, but rather he had some sort of Kabbalah from his Rabosav. Rabbi Zera wants to clarify, is there some source in the Mishnah itself somewhere that Rabbi Yossi actually holds that the entire Mizbech was in the Tzofon? Omer Rabbi Zera, Efshar Isa Leha de Rabbi Yochanan, is it possible indeed that this Shmuah of Rabbi Yochanan was to the effect that Rabbi Yossi holds the entire Mizbech was in the Tzofon, velo tnino la b'masnisan, and there's no remez at all in the Mishnah, is nafak dok v'ashkach? Rabbi Zera goes out, he investigates this, he takes a quick look in the Mishnayos, not a quick look I should say, but a meticulous investigation of the Mishnayos, and he finds a remez in a Mishnah Masechta Tomid. This nan we have in the Mishnah Masechta Tomid with regard to those things that have to be done for the Akravas HaTomid in the Migdash, that after they set up the Marocha, which is called the Marocha Gedol, the fire of Eitzim on the Mizbeach, Biru Misham, they would choose from the Lishkas Dir HaEitzim, Atzei Te'ena Yofim. Okay, these were the best wood called Atzei Te'ena. And He'elum al Mizbeach HaChitzon, they put it on top of the Mizbeach, L'sader Marocha, to set up the Eitzim. And this is called the Marocha Shnia Shel Kitores. And they set it up Kineged Keren Marovis Dromis Moshuch Mina Keren Klapit Sofon Arba Amos. Now in Midos, in Perek Beis, there were four Lishkos on the four corners of the Ezras Noshim. Each one was 40 Amma in length and in width, 30 Amma from the north to the south. So you'll see here a diagram of the Ezras Noshim, and one of these Lishkos, one of these offices, so to speak, was called the Lishkas Dir HaEitzim. And that's where they stored the wood for the Marocha on the Mizbeach. And this was located on the north eastern side of the Ezras Noshim. And there the Kohanim, who were Bali Mumim, were in charge of checking the Eitzim to make sure there were no Tolaim, because an Eitz that has a Tolas is Pasul L'Marocha. And even though, as far as the min is concerned, as what kind of tree you're talking about, all the trees are kosher l'marocha, but nevertheless, they used to take from te'enim, from the fig tree, because al yidei ilon zeh ha'isa takana liyadam arishon. So this has to do with some mystical reflection of the fact that the burning of this wood would be a rectification of the sin of the Eitz Hadas, and the Te'eno is specifically mentioned in the Torah in the context of the Eitz Hadas, where it says, Vayitfru Ola Te'eno Vayasulem Chagoros, and the Chet of Eitz Hadas was a result of Lashon Hara, and the Tikkun was through the Te'ena. The Ketores also is Mechaperes on Lashon Hara. And the Mishnah there in Midos clarifies that they used to take Bishel Egos Vishel Shemen Afarsamon. But that's only as far as the Marocha Gdol is concerned. As far as the Marocha Shni is concerned, they would take Bishel Te'ena. And again, this has to do with mystical concepts. The Ketores is coming to stop Misa. That's a parasha in the Torah. We'll get it. We'll read it soon. In any event, there's machlokes as to whether or not they took Eitz Te'ena Sha'osa Peros that would produce fruits, figs, or Dafka a Ilan Srak, which is Eno Osa Peros. and they chose the best yofim, as we said, because they needed to use these eitzim immediately in the morning to set up the mizbech hazov, the mizbech hapnimi, for the aktores haktores. And they took the yofim, which would produce very good charcoal and not just ashes, and that's what they put l'sader marocha shnia shel k'tores. Now, this marocha they took on a daily basis. They took away from this marocha the gecholim with a kli that's called a machta, and they brought this machta of gecholim into the mizbeach hapnimi for the purpose of aktores haktores, which was burnt on the mizbeach hapnimi twice daily, once in the morning and once bein arbayim. On Shabbos there was another additional function which we'll get to a little bit later, mirtz Hashem. And the Gemara in Yoma darshins that the marocha from which they took the gecholim for the k'tores was located on the mizbeach achitzon, because the pasuk says v'lokach melo hamachta gachle eish me'al mizbeach milifnei Hashem ve'hevi mibeis laparoches. So it must be that it's a reference to the mizbeach achitzon, which was partially lifnei Hashem but not completely lifnei Hashem. And this marocha from which they took the gecholim for the purpose of aktores haktores is called the marocha shnia, because earlier they did the marocha gdola on which they burnt all the karbonos. And all this is derived in Yoma from Psukim. It says mokta al hamizbeach kol alayla, that's the marocha gdola, and then it says v'eish hamizbeach tukad bo, that's marocha shnia. They started with the marocha gdola because of its great power of kapara, because they were makter all the chatomos and the ashomos on that marocha. And according to the Gemara Yoma, some Tanoim hold that there were other marochas besides the marocha gdola and marocha shnia. The marocha gdola was in the half, the eastern half of the mizbeach, and in this mishnah it clarifies where was the marocha shnia, and it says that the marocha shnia was keneged keren marovis dromis. So we're no longer talking about the eastern side of the mizbeach where the marocha gdola was. We're talking about the western side, the southwestern side of the mizbeach, and it was moshuch min hakeren. Keren is the corner of the mizbeach. And maybe what we're talking about is the Karen of the Yisod HaMizbeach. We'll see about that later on. Maybe we're talking about the Arba Amos of the Karen HaMizbeach without including the Yisod and the Soved. Klapei Tzofon, Arba Amos. Now it was a little bit, shall we say, tilted towards the north for Amos. So they organized this Marocha Shnia in the fifth Amo. And again, we have here a little bit of a diagram here for the Marocha Shnia of K'tores, which is Moshuch Min HaKeren Klapei Tzofen Arba Amos. So you'll see the Marocha Gdola here on the Drom Mizrach in this picture, and you'll see that on the Tzfon Mairov, because the Mairov again is on top of you, towards the top, the Tzofon is towards the right, but the Dorum is towards the left. So towards the upper left column here, so to speak, of this picture, you have the Marocha Shnia of the K'tores. And here you have the four Amos Klapei Tzofon. Now Klapei Tzofon means that you start with Dorum and you set up each one of these four Amos moving towards the Tzofon, which as I said before is on the right side. And exactly what volume of Eitzim was needed for the Marocha Shnia's Ba'omed. Omed means there was an estimation. They were Meshayer Chamesh Se'in Gecholim.
Notice, for the purpose of Akhtara, although they only needed Shlosha Kavim Baboker, Shlosha Kavim Bein Harbayim, but at the beginning they would take a Machta of Kesef Sa'a, which is the equivalent of Shisha Kavim of Gecholim, and later on they would be Morid, those Gecholim from the Mizbeach, and they would bring it in with a Machta to the Machta of Zav, which was Shlosha Kavim. In any event, they needed a larger volume of Gecholim, which is called Chamesh Slaim, because that's how the Chachomim were Meshayer, that they would need that amount in order to make it possible to take Shisha Kabim of Gecholim, of good, healthy Gecholim, so it would be easy to do Lachtos, Al Gabi Gecholim, in the Mishar, and not in a Guma. And this is what Rashi already preempts what we're going to see later. And then we went to Shabbos, the volume of Eitzim that they took, Ba'omed, was Shmonis Sa'in Gecholim. So we jack it up from Chamesh Sa'in during the week to Shmonis Sa'im of Gecholim during Shabbos. They needed more Gecholim on Shabbos. And why is that? Shesham, on that Marocha, you know them, Shnei Bezichei Levona Shalechem Aponim. Because the Avoda of the Lechem Aponim was done on Shabbos. And these bazichin are these kinds of spoons that they took the Levona, which was one of the Samamonim, as part of the mitzvah of the Lechem Aponim for Haktar purposes. And what they had to do was to put on the Shulchan in the Heichal Shnei Bazichin. Each one of those bazichin was a kometz of Levona, and that had to be done on each Shabbos. And at the moment that they would be mesalik the lechem ayoshim from the previous Shabbos and replace it with the new lechem of this Shabbos, they had also removed the bazichin ayishonim and they replace it with bazichin chadoshim. And the bazichin that they took out, they would be maktir on the mizbeach achitzon in the marocha shnia. So therefore, they needed a greater volume of eitzim and gecholim in the marocha shnia on Shabbos for the sake of the old bazichin, which they had to be marked here on the Mizbeach Achitzon, on the Marocha Shnia. Only after the Haktara were the Kohanim allowed to eat the Lechem Aponim. All this is indicated by the Psukim in Vayikra Perek Chav Dalet. And Rashi elaborates that. It's also a Sugya Menachos and Daf Tzadites. So again, even though the Torah doesn't say explicitly Mefurosh, that the Haktara was on the Mizbeach Achitzon, nevertheless, Rashi indicates why you have to say that, because the Mizbeach HaPnimi was also to be marked or anything except for the Ktores, and therefore the Bazichin and the Levon, that could not be burnt on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So Shom HaYunosim Shnei Bazichei Levona Shalechem Aponim. And they needed enough Gecholim for that burning of the Shnei Bezichi Levona of last week's Lechem Aponim. And then Rab Zera comes along and he clarifies that the Mishnah gives us a simon for the Mokom Marocha as identifying it as Keren Marovis Dromis Mashuch Arba Amas Litzofan. And he asks the following question, Umay Simona, what's the indication of this simon? In other words, why does it have to dafka be that in this place they set up, exactly in that location of Mizbeach, they set up the Marocha Shnia? And Rabbi Zera answers, Rabbi Yossi, because that Mishnah reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, and therefore we have to put the Marocha on that particular place, the Sanya, because we learned in a Braisa. Here we're turning to Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis. Rabbi Yossi Omer Zes Simon. In other words, the klal of this Simon should be called Nital Bifnim. Anything that you take into the Heichal, Li Nosein Bachutz, shall be placed outside the Heichal, on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, is Eino Nitan Ela B'Somuch, should not be placed on the Mizbeach, but rather besomach to the side of the Mizbeach that's close to the
hechal to the tzad pnim, in such a way that she'ein lifnim, the mizbeach hachitzon, should not be at a place that's closer to the hechal, v'chol hanita b'chutz li'nosein lifnim. Anything that they take from the mizbeach hachitzon in order to be placed on the hechal is eino nital el b'somuch she'ein lifnim. We take it from a place that's so close to the hechal, such that the mizbeach has no makom that's closer to the hechal. So this exact location for the Maaroch HaShnia, according to Rabbi Yossi, coincides with the place that is closest to the hechal. If it's something that's a dovra nital mia hechal bachutz, that's taken out of the hechal and placed on the mizbeach hachitzon, then eino nitan ela b'samach. It should be that part of the pnim of the hechal that's closer to the mizbeach hachitzon. But in the reverse case, kol anital b'chutz, that which is taken from the mizbeach hachitzoni linasein lifnim and should be brought into the mizbeach hapnimi, that should be placed samuch to the closest spot on the mizbeach that's closest to the hechal. And Rav Zera now is going to clarify this siman of Rav Yossi. He's going to embellish it. He's going to say that which Rav Yossi says, kol anital bifnim linase bachutz, my ninu. What is this referring to? What is this thing that's nital bifnim and nitan bachutz? Elam, if you're going to say that he's talking about the shirayim, the shirayi adam, the chatos hapnimius, which means the par kohen Mashiach, the par helim dovashel tzibur, and the seirei avodah zarah, and also the parashel yom kippurim and the sar of yom kippurim. These are the chatos pnimios, where the hazos adam was inside the hechel shirayi adam. They took from inside the Hechel and they poured it on the Yisod Mizbeach Achitzon. And Rabbi Yossi is coming to tell you that we should do the Shvicha on the place that's somuch to the Pesach HaHechel. That's not true. Behedrek Sivbahu, because that's explicit in the Torah. The Torah says in Vayikra Dalet, Vinosan HaKohem Min Adam Al Karnos Mizbach Ktoras HaSamin Ves Kol Dam Hapar Yishvach El Yisod Mizbach Ol Asher Pesach Ol Moed. In other words, whatever is left the Shirayim of the Dam has to be placed on the Yisod Maravi, which is Mul, which corresponds to the Pesach HaHechal. So if it's Mefurish in the Pasuk, we don't need Rabbi Yossi to teach us this. Vesu, and furthermore, Kol Anital Bachutz Linosein Binosein Bifnim Ayninhu, then what's the sefer here, Rabbi Yossi? Anital Bachutz Elam, if you're going to tell me we're talking about the Cholim of Yom HaKippurim that the Kohen Gadol would take from the Mizbeach HaChitzon and bring it into the Kodesh Kadoshim to do the Haktaras HaSamim, and Rabbi Yossi is telling us that the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim would take it from the place on the Mizbeach HaChitzon that's Samach LeHechal, once again Behedrek Simbahu. That's also explicit in the pasuk. It says, "V'lakach melo amachta gachle eish me'al amizbeach milufnei Hashem." And when it says milufnei Hashem, it means to be taken from the place that's somuch to the Pesach HaHechal, which is called lufnei Hashem. Rabbi Yossi didn't have to teach me this simon when it's explicit in the pasukim. Ella, therefore, says Rabbi Zera, what does Rabbi Yossi have in mind when he says, "Kol anital bifnim li nasein bachutz"? His kavana was for the shnei bezichei levona. He's talking about that which was taken on Shabbos from the Shulchan, which was in the Hechal, and it's placed on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and that's called the Shnei B'zichei Levona. And the simon was, Degamrei Mishirayim, we should derive this from Shirayi Adam of Chatos HaPnimis, just like Shirayi Adam, the Torah says explicitly that when it's taken from the Hechal, because we're talking about Chatos HaPnimis from the Hechal to place to be placed b'chutz on the yisod mizbach achitzon. It's got to be mul pesach oel moed. So too in the shnei bazicha levona, they too, when they're taking me b'fnim from the shulchan in the heichal, and they're placed b'chutz on the mizbach achitzon, you have to put them mul pesach oel, meaning in the place that's somoch, the closest place to the pesach haeichal on the way out. Anita b'chutz, we not in b'fnim. And what he says in the sefer, when he's taking from the mizbach achitzon inside to the heichal, gecholim dechol Yama v'yama. That's a reference to the Gecholim that he took on a daily basis from the Mizbeach HaChitzon, from the Maroch HaShniyah. He brought it into the Heichal for the purpose of Haktoras Haktoras on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So we took from the Maroch HaShniyah on the Mizbeach HaChitzon for the purpose of Haktoras Haktoras inside in the Heichal. And Rabbi Yossi wants to tell us that the Gemara on the Gecholim Shel Yom HaKippurim, we're going to derive that din from the Gecholim of Yom HaKippurim, just like the Gecholim of Yom HaKippurim, which are taken mi bachutz by the Kohen Gadol and brought inside. And there the Torah says that he takes a milifnei Hashem, which is in the area of the Mizbeach that's closest to the Pesach HaHeichal. So too the Gecholim on a daily basis, when they are taking me b'chutz for the purpose of haktoras haktoras b'fnim, we should take them milifnei Hashem from that location on the Mizbeach, which is closest to the Pesach HaHeichal. So we learn now, just to summarize, that Rabbi Yossi gave this simon and this klal to teach us that nesinas b'zichei levona and netilas gecholim l'ktores should be done Pesach HaHeichal. And these two dinim are derived because of the are related to the Maroch HaShniyah. So Rabbi Yossi understood, Rabbi Zeir understood that this Mishnah in Talmud that says the Maroch HaShniyah was Bekeren Marovis Dromis, and it was Moshuch Litzofon Arba Amos from the Ktzeh Mizbeach. That's a reflection of the Shita of Yossi, that these things have to be done on the Mizbeach Somuch LePesach HaHeichal, in order to set up the Marocha inside the Heichal, Dafka in that place. And now Rabbi Zeir is going to clarify where the Mizbeach stood according to Rabbi Yossi. And he's going to derive the conclusion that according to Rabbi Yossi, the Mizbeach in its entirety was in the Tzofon. And that part of the Sugya will Mirtz Hashem cover in tomorrow's Shia. So we're here on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, and we're about, I'd say, about one third down on the Omer.